Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay for the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, good evening, Misty. How are you?
Good evening, Bonnie. I'm wonderful. How are you tonight?
Okay. You know, there are some people who say that I'm pretty uncompromising on my points of view, don't they? Yeah, they do. But anyway, I want to show you how open-minded I am. When I give that introduction every week, it says, who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. You know, that word bisexual is not normally part of my vocabulary. I had to remove it because I don't believe it exists. And yet, I'm willing to mention that every week and say that word. So it shows you that I really have more liberal thinking than most people believe, doesn't it?
I think you may have proved your point.
Exactly. Anyway, we welcome any of our listeners to call in if you have any issues you would like to talk about, or are there any things that are bothering you, or any questions that you have for me or Misty. And I'm going to give you our guest call-in number. You can call anonymously. Nobody will know who you are. And the area code is 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that again. It's area code 646-716-4893. So, Misty, how's your week been?
It's been wonderful. It's been mighty hot here in our great state of Florida, but it has been a wonderful week. Lots of great things. If you love sunshine, this is the place to be. Sunshine and heat.
Well, I heard that your workshop is really coming along pretty well, right?
It is. It's filling up. It is coming up August the 20th. And if you want a spot, please email me at Misty Lynn Hall, MistyLynnHall at AOL.com, and it's going to be a free workshop on grief. We all know that that's one of the major, major issues that you face when you learn that you make the discovering, start going through the trauma, realizing that you're married to a gay man. Grief is one of the, it's just so important to realize the steps of grief, the grieving process, and understand it a little bit. And that's what we'll be talking about for the free workshop coming up August 20th. It's starting to fill up. So if you're interested, send me an email and I can get you on the list now.
Yes, and once again, it's a wonderful opportunity to go to a free workshop of Misty's and to see how much you're going to get out of it and to learn from it. And this is Misty's gift, you know, every summer that she does for our listeners. But, you know, it comes up once in the summer and this is your opportunity to meet other women, to anonymously talk to other women, to share their stories, and to connect with them. And Misty and I are very big believers in trying to get women connected. And, in fact, in September, I'll be having my annual get-together here in Philadelphia, which will serve as a dual purpose. It'll get together women from all over the country as far as getting support and also celebrating my 60th birthday, which I can't believe that it's actually happening. I said, would ever believe I could live to 60 years old. That's a scary thought.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really a challenging, scary thought to me. But it's actually happening. And, you know, I want to celebrate it with friends and people who care about me. So it'll be a really big bash here that night. So if you're interested in joining us, we have a wonderful group of women who are coming. Please email me at bondk@aol.com. And we try to make it a low-cost type of a visit because I know travel is expensive, but we have a group rate on the hotel. And basically, the only costs are your eating costs, which are pretty minimal. And that's just for a couple of days. But what you leave after one of these gatherings, what you leave with is so important and invaluable that every woman who goes to, you know, to wherever we are, whenever we have to get together, they say it's a life-changing experience. So I like to do that once a year for our women who could have a chance now to bond with other women through their experiences. Which leads me to tell people that I'm really excited because I'm working on finishing touches of my upcoming new book, Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, Part 2. And it's been really quite an experience putting together the stories of women from our support networks, from not only in this country, but from also in Canada, England, and Australia. It's been extremely, you know, really heart-wrenching for me, going through each one of these stories and seeing how similar they really are, even though these women live, you know, thousands of miles away and come from different backgrounds and upbringing and culture and religions, and yet these stories are so much alike. And I think the great thing, Misty, that when that first book came out, Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, it was kind of revolutionary because there had been no other books out where there were stories of a whole group of women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to date, you know, so many people still comment on that book, how helpful it is to them, how it really hit home to them, how it really finalized, you know, in their own lives what their thinking was. Because you have to remember, and I tell this to women all the time, and I know that you do too, that a lot of times you'll never have closure from your husband. I mean, a lot of times these men will just not tell you the truth because it's too difficult for them to do it. You know, they're either selfish or they're too fearful or they're in too much denial themselves. So you're not going to hear it from them. And you have to go through your whole life, you know, using that as your barometer. Well, he won't say that he's gay. And I think that by reading these stories, it really validates how you feel when you have a husband who won't come out and be honest about it, because many of these men will never be honest about it. And I remember some men who I was working with in the United Kingdom who did a survey on this, and over 1,200 men, I believe, responded. And I read their results, and over 60% of the men said they will never tell their wives. So, I mean, that was a pretty high percentage when you consider, you know, how many people are out there living this experience. And I know a number of men who say, well, they'll leave their marriages, but they're not going to tell their wives why. And I tell them that's the most selfish thing that you can do. I mean, you can't tell them the marriage failed, so you're leaving. You have to tell them why it failed, because otherwise they're going to spend the rest of their lives wondering what they did wrong. And if you truly love your wife, you really owe it to her to tell her the reason why you're leaving, because this will definitely affect her future as far as finding future relationships. If she feels that she failed at this particular relationship, she's going to feel inadequate as far as going into a new one. And that's not love. I mean, to me, that's the most selfish thing you can do. So I say you have to bite the bullet and you have to be honest about it. And that's the only way that you can do this. Do you agree, Misty?
I think honesty is absolutely the best policy in this situation. And I think some, you know, I'm gonna even step over on the other side for a moment. I think some men think, you know, from some of the women I've worked with, I think some men think that it would hurt the wife too much, and so they're just not going to tell her. And, you know, that's in the experience I've had with myself, being a straight wife, and with all the women I've worked with, that's not true. You know, yes, the truth deeply, deeply hurts, but the truth needs to be there. And I firmly stand by honesty is the best policy when it comes to this type of situation.
Well, one of the things that, you know, I was talking tonight about in our chat room, I've never really gone on Craigslist because of the fact that even though so many of our women tell me about it, but, you know, I just haven't thought about going on it. But this week, one of my friends was looking at it, not for the personal ads. He was looking for some office of furniture there. And I said, you know, as long as you have it up, let me look at it because I hear about this all the time. And, you know, it tells you whatever city you're in because every city has a Craigslist, I guess. And, in fact, we were talking to one of our members in Canada, and she said they have a Craigslist there too. And when I went to the personal ads and I saw men seeking men, which is fine, you know, when gay men are looking to meet other men. But when I went into that category and I saw how many gay married men there were, I was even a little shocked myself that they would so publicly advertise to meet other men. And I thought, you know, maybe we should do something about that, Misty. Maybe we should respond to every gay married male ad on there. And,
wow. I don't think there's enough time to do that, actually.
Well, maybe if we have a group of like 100 of us that could do it, you know, in every city, I'm saying, and try to engage them in conversation and tell them about the importance of being honest with their wives. Come out to your wife. What do you think?
Well, I'm sure our membership will get canceled quickly if we start doing that. That is an interesting topic, though. That would be quite.
You mean you have to be married to be on Craigslist? I mean, you have to be a member of Craigslist to answer?
You know, I don't know. I have no idea.
No, I think anybody can answer.
I don't know. Oh, okay. I don't know.
I'm not sure either. I don't know if our friend Maggie is listening, but if you are, Maggie, maybe you can call us at 646-716-4893 because Maggie is our expert as far as, you know, how to be tracking people down. But, you know, I think that might be a good idea, the more I think about it, that if we start a national campaign to finding out who these men are and, you know, talking to them about the importance of coming out to their wives. I don't know. What do you think? Maybe they won't be advertising on there anymore.
I think that would be very interesting. And, you know, Craigslist is so, I don't know, it's just so, here's what I think when I think of Craigslist, and I know this sounds very judgmental, but, you know, I really don't know if I want to meet someone that's advertising themselves on Craigslist. So, you know, I think it's just so odd that people will go to such risk to find other partners on a stock such as that. I think that I think the scary part to me that shows, especially, you know, women, we talked about this just last week, you know, if you are, you think you're married to a gay man and you think he is or you don't know if he's having sex or not on the side, you know, you have to be so careful to use protection. Because if you're meeting someone from a site such as Craigslist, you don't know where the other person's in. I mean, it's really scary when you think of that.
So I think I'll look it up while we're talking. Go ahead. You keep talking, and I'm going to look up Craigslist here and see if I can find some of these ads here.
But it's just so scary to think that a lot of these ads that I've been told, because, you know, some of the women I've worked with, they have found their husbands on there. It's just...
on Craigslist?
You know,
I never knew that.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. On the internet, like Match.com or eHarmony.com. Let's see.
Well,
I'm going to look up near you, Misty. How's that?
Okay.
How about West Palm Beach? Can I check that out?
That'd be fine. So I'm sure it'd be...
Check out West Palm Beach. Okay. Men seeking met. Let's see what we find out in your neighborhood. Women seeking women. Women seeking men. Scam alert. No, that's women seeking men. That's the wrong one. I'm sorry, I clicked into the wrong thing. Men seeking men. Let's see where that comes up. And I have to say that I'm over 18. Okay, let's see what we have here in your neighborhood. Some of these I definitely can't, I wouldn't even read them on here. Actually, I'm trying to see if I can read any of them on here, but the language is really bad, but I wouldn't even want to read it over here. Just looking for the married guys. Here's a guy, straight, masculine, and muscular. Huh, here's his stat. He's 29, white male, straight, a little stocky. And his body's on there. Okay, I'm not going to think that he's the right guy. Let's see. Here's a masculine bi looking for same. Here's a bisexual Latino looking for same now. Let's see. Yeah, a lot of these ads, I really can't even tell you what they say, Misty, because I'm like a little embarrassed and I wouldn't want to really...
Mm-hmm.
Bring these things up, but I definitely feel like women should look into this. You may find your husband on there, because we've had women find their husbands on there. That's how they know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to Craigslist.com, and you know they go into personal ads, and then men seeking men. You may have that horror of finding your husband on that list. You know, we hope that's not how you have to find out. But I always say it's better to know than not to know. So, you know, like I say, check it out and let us know if you find anything that you're surprised about. You can always write to me at bondk@aol.com. A couple of weeks ago, there was an article that I wanted to talk about tonight, Misty, about gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And this came about from gay marriage being legalized in New York. And I sent this out to some of our support group members from our chat room, and I thought it was an interesting theory. And I'll read you the article. It says that whether straight men and women know it or not, New York's new Gay Marriage Act will have an enormous impact on them. The reason: it will eliminate or at least drastically reduce the likelihood of gays attempting to conceal or even change their orientation through heterosexual marriage. In the past, many gay people did not identify with or even fully understand what homosexuality was or their relationship to it. In earlier centuries, for example, intense and sustained same-sex relationships were considered unremarkable. And because notions of privacy were still practiced largely in the breach, it was customary for friends, even strangers, to save money or make do with limited space by sharing beds, as many did. At the same time, homosexuals caught being homosexual were treated as criminals. In 1953, for example, President Dwight D. Eisenhower's Executive Order 10450 required all civil and military federal employees guilty of sexual perversion, quote-unquote, to be fired, and thousands were. As late as 1965, Canada imprisoned a gay mechanic as a dangerous sexual offender after he admitted to having consensual sex with other men. He was released only in 1971 when the tide began to change. The consequence, of course, was that most lesbians and gay men married opposite-gender spouses and tried the best they could to fit into the heterosexual mold their society expected, not infrequently engaging in clandestine gay liaisons. These are the marriages that the Gay Marriage Act will mostly end. And some of its most fervent supporters have been heterosexual spouses of closeted homosexuals. These gay husbands and their wives and ex-wives and lesbian wives and their husbands and ex-husbands number in the millions. And number in the millions between 1.7 and 3.4 million and are increasingly speaking out of how their experiences have affected them personally. The Straight Spouse Network, for instance, uses a virtual community for all the millions of us who find that we are married or in long-term relationship with someone who we find out is gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, or just not sure about that. Television's Fran Drescher show, Happily Divorced, is inspired by her real-life experience as a straight woman whose husband reveals post-divorce that he is gay. But the right to gay marriage will reduce but not eliminate these marriages. Only eradicating homophobia will do that. There remains a chasm between official policy and the realities of personal and social life. Parental rejection, social ostracism or mockery, and physical danger that includes being bashed as a fag. Coming out can still be perilous, and many young gays prefer the safety of being closeted. The complexities of gayness are heightened as expatriate gays who once lived clandestinely in their homelands seek to make sense of the North American inclusiveness. For the first time in history, young people are growing up in the presence of legally sanctioned gay marriage and divorce, an experience that will influence how they shape their lives in a world that is marching away from homophobia and allowing gays and lesbians to unite in marriage, to raise their children, and to expect to receive the same rights and be subject to the same obligations as heterosexual spouses. As more gay men and women decide to marry, they will shore up the very institution whose decline the wider society mourns. And that was an article from the Huffington Post, and it was written by, let's see who wrote the article, Elizabeth Abbott, and it's from 7/7/11. So what are your thoughts on that, Misty?
Well, I hope a lot of that's true. I hope a lot of it is true where that it, you know, it does, people are more comfortable marrying what they're attracted to. You know, if men are attracted to men, they're more comfortable marrying men instead of you know, marrying women. I've said this before on the show. I can't, you know, it would be wonderful if it happened and, you know, gay didn't marry straight anymore and, you know, they could marry each other. I think that would be absolutely wonderful. But even with some of the women I've worked in some very liberal countries that have allowed that for years, I've still worked with women that have married gay men because, you know, sometimes you have a gay man that really wants a wife, wants children, and tries to fight it still, even though it's legal in his country to marry a man and to have the same benefits as you would if you would be married to a woman, you know, such as, you know, health insurance, such as, you know, Social Security benefits, all those sorts of things. So, you know, it's very interesting that it still happens in those liberal countries that allow that. So I think we're heading in the right direction, but I don't think it's going to end gay men marrying women. And I know that sounds negative, but hopefully for the most part it will. But I still think there will always be gay men marrying straight women.
Well, I, you know, when I was younger, or, you know, a number of years ago, it's not related to age, it was just experience. I really did believe that if gay marriage was made legal, then that would resolve a lot of the issues as far as gay people marrying straight people, because, mm-hmm. you know, they would have the right to marry, you know, other gay people. But now that I've gotten older, I don't quite agree with that anymore. I mean, I'm all for gay marriage, and I hope that, you know, gay people find their happiness with their gay mates. But I just see life a little more, you know, I guess, stilted now or jaded.
I think it's a little more complicated than what it appears on the surface. You know, there's a lot more entangled into the fabric or more threads woven through it because it's more complicated than just a marriage.
Right. It's more complicated, you know, as this article said. A lot of it is family values. A lot of it is homophobic values. You know, it's very hard standing up and being different than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And you read so many stories today about the high schools, how the bullying has taken over, how so many people are affected by, you know, bullies in their school, how young people are, you know, killing themselves and committing suicide over that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's awful, yeah. There's an article always out there about something, some tragedy happened at some school, and it's just terrible to read those things. Terrible.
It is. And that's probably why I like to watch the show Glee so much. It's like one of my favorite shows because it really talks about the intensity of high school students and how they are discriminated against because they're different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a young man in that show, Kurt, you know, that's the name of the character, who's very out and very gay in every possible way, and he really doesn't care about what people say. But, you know, I've read some of his own interviews in the newspapers and how he talked about when he was really in school, how people would treat him and how he would get beat up, you know, for being
mm-hmm.
gay because he looked different, because he acted different.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those people who stand up to it, you know, who can take that adversity where there are others who just don't.
Yeah.
And I think that's human nature. You know, I'm not blaming gay people, believe me. There are people all over who try to be somebody they're not because they're part of a group that's persecuted or a minority that's, you know, discriminated
mm-hmm.
against. And certain minorities can hide, other ones can't. You know, but the ones that can, you know, some of them really do try.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a matter to me that it's a matter of... I'm not sure what all the factors would be, but religion, I think, plays a very big factor, that if you grow up in an environment that's going to tell you that what you're doing is deviant and what you're doing is, you know, going to put you in hell and you're going to burn forever, I think it's much harder to make that decision based on that. You know, there's lots of brainwashing going on through religion, you know, from the time that you're a child. And how do you, you know, fight that? How do you get past that?
I don't think it's easy.
Huh?
You know, I don't think it's easy. That's one of the complications.
I don't either.
It's not just as simple as, okay, gay people can marry gay people. It's not that simple. It runs much deeper than that. You know, like the family values that they grew up in. And, you know, even if their parents, let's say the parents that, you know, that they grew up going to church with, let's say they're now deceased. I mean, that person still doesn't really have freedom because those values have been ingrained in them, and it's hard to shake those values sometimes. You know, a lot of people respect the values they grew up with, so it's hard to, be taught one thing and live a different thing. That's not easy to do for most people. There's, you know, they can be at unrest at doing this. So it's not something that's easy to do. It's complicated. It involves a lot of factors for the person, I think.
It does. We do have a caller who wants to join us. Hold on one moment, Misty. Hello, you're with Bonnie and Misty.
Hi, this is Maggie.
Maggie, how are you? Did you hear us calling for you?
I did, and I was kind of trying to put some things in line, sort of lines, get my ducks in a row here so that I could kind of talk to you about the whole Craigslist thing. I put an ad out on
Craigslist. Thank you so much for calling,
Craigslist.
Maggie, first of all, because we know that nobody knows anything better than you do. You are our
well,
number one
that,
as far as revealing truths.
Yeah. I went out on Craigslist after we got through with the chat and put out an ad, and it took exactly 9 minutes for me to get a response.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It must be a slow night on Craigslist, right?
Maybe, yeah. It's Sunday night. Things are kind of slowing down.
No, you didn't have to register, did you?
No.
You have to become a member?
Yeah, no. Well, actually, I did have to put a phone number in there to get a verification key, which I think they must require that on the personals. I've sold things on there before and never had to do that. So.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I took the chance and went ahead and did it, you know.
And what did you put down the ad as?
What is the ad? Let me go in here. Looking for fun tonight and using the numeral four, you know, chat talk or text talk, male for male. And then said I was a 21-year-old. And used all the lingo like no PNP, which stands for party in play, which basically means drug activity. Safe only, which means, you know, must use condoms, that sort
what
of thing.
What is that? What
safe
that
only. Yeah, it means must use condoms.
No, what is the terminology then?
Safe only.
Oh, faith it's, only?
If you say safe only, that means
safe
that, you know,
only.
You want,
okay.
Yeah, S-A-F-E, yeah. Safe.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah. So,
but did you get any married men?
Well, and I don't know if he's married or not. He just asked if I was into older guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that you need to put another ad up and try it out, married white male. You know, seeking other for, you know, mutual interest. That's the ones we want to see how many responses you get to.
I was going to
Did you notice
that.
There were many ads on there for married men?
I saw some, yeah. One guy advertised and said, my wife's away and I'd like to play.
So. Now, have you had much experience with Craigslist before?
Not really. I'd never really messed with it or anything. But then, you know, I found out that, men did advertise on it, and I did, I found an ad that my ex, it wasn't his ad, but it was one that he and one of his friends replied to so that three of them could get together and have a good time. The guy that responded to me, I just asked him if he was married or single.
Oh, okay.
What he says.
Maggie, can you also talk to our women who are listening about some of these other sites that men advertise on?
Well, there were two in particular that my ex used. One is called Manhunt, and it's manhunt.com, I guess, or manhunt.net, maybe. And that was predominantly where he, I was going to pull it up and see if, what it was, manhunt.com.
I think it's going to be a .com.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's manhunt.com. Gay dating chat and hookups is what it is. And it is, I think it's worldwide. I know
it's in
all the states because my ex used it in several states when he where he traveled on business or to visit family. And that was the predominant one that he used. And then there was another one called Daddy Hunt, daddyhunt.com. And that one he didn't use quite as much. But I did help one of the other women on the chat find her husband on Daddy Hunt. And I think it's kind of a bears and cubs kind of a thing, you know, older men looking for younger men, you know, where there's a more of an age difference. The manhunt though is, I mean, there are people, you know, of all ages, and now they have it available for iPhone or Android. Nice. So you can get Manhunt on your iPhone or Android.
Well, I think you want to keep it with you 24 hours a day. You just never know, right?
Oh, absolutely. You
never know. Somebody's going to come along and want to have sex with you.
Going to come along, yeah.
So how are things working out in your life?
I just got another response.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not such a slow night after all.
No, this is a slow night. You can only imagine.
Yeah, I know.
You've only had two responses in 11 minutes. It is a slow night.
So, life overall is going pretty well. I may actually have a job interview tomorrow. Ironically, it would be working for, if this comes through, it would be working for my divorce attorney.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Doing spying for him.
Okay, the first guy that responded is a married white male with kids, but all alone tonight.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that, you know, he's bored.
Yeah. They're not disappointing us tonight.
No, as usual, they don't. So, did you hear my idea
about contacting
them?
You'd have to get enough information from them to be able to figure out who they are, you know. And
now I'm saying, like, we don't have to say we want to turn them in. We can just have a conversation with them about. I said we didn't have to say that. Like, we could tell them that, you know, we're just trying to help them.
To be perfectly honest with you, I think the kind of men that do this, they're not. I don't think they're going to respond to that. Yeah, I don't. You know, I think that, you know, if you say, you know, hey, you really need to come out to your wife, you know, they're just going to, you know, brush you off and, you know.
Do you think it would scare them?
I don't know. It might.
Scare them off of Craigslist anyway.
Have I what?
No, maybe it would scare them from being on Craigslist.
From being on Craigslist. I mean, it could. Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe all it would take would be one guy getting called from being on Craigslist and maybe the word spread.
Maybe.
The only thing is they're just going to go somewhere else.
No doubt.
And I hate to sound, you know, like negative Nelly, but, you know, if we shut down all of the sites, they'll just build a new one. You know, like that old movie, Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
No pun intended. But, you know, there are so many more websites than the ones that than the ones that my ex used. So,
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere you look.
Yeah,
you know, even on Match.com, you can have men meeting men, right?
Oh yeah, there's same sex categories on Match.com and Now, I don't know that eHarmony has that because it's more of a...
Yeah, I don't think eHarmony does, but I think Match.com does.
But most of the, you know, of the online dating things. And like you said, you know, I don't have any problem with, you know, men meeting men so long as, you know, they're single and that sort of thing. You know, just like, I mean, I have women friends who are on Match.com and they're looking, you know, for men to date and that sort of thing. It's you know, just one of the options out there. But, yeah, I have a real problem with married gay men trolling the Internet for sex because I was, you know, I've had my ex do exactly that. And
exactly.
He had quite a harem, so to speak, out there.
He was really disgusting. Nothing personal.
Yeah. Oh, here's three more. Four more.
There you go.
Oh, let's pick it up.
Now, what, Maggie, you're having a very popular night tonight.
I know.
Now, if you would advertise as a woman seeking a man, you wouldn't get that kind of response.
Probably not. Yeah. And that's sad, yeah. And most of these people have included photographs, too. I haven't opened them up, but I can tell that there's an attachment, and I'm sure it's a photograph. So.
Right. I was saying earlier that one of our members found her husband on there, you know, full-bodied with his penis.
Mm-hmm.
No face picture.
Yeah. I mean, my ex's profile on Manhunt, you know, he had his face showing. He had his body parts showing. I could easily tell that it was taken in our house because I could see the aquarium in the background, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no way he could have denied it was him.
Mm-hmm.
And I had screen prints of that as well, which are now in my, you know, in my file at the attorney's office.
Now, has he ever seen that? You have it?
He knows that I have all that stuff because at mediation we sort of did a laundry list of of things because I was asking for more than 50% of something. I live in an equitable distribution state, which means I automatically get 50% of everything, but I was asking for 60% of something, and I had to justify that, and so I justified it with a laundry list of his misdeeds. And so the whole Manhunt thing was on there,
mm-hmm.
including the names of about, oh, six or eight different people that he had been with on Manhunt, including one that we knew was married.
Mm-mm. Are you getting any more responses yet?
Oh, yeah, a couple more.
Now, can you tell if any of them are married?
Let's see. They're not saying if they are, but like
mm-hmm.
I said, the one that I replied to and asked him if he was married or single, he replied, you know, married with kids, but the wife's away. So
mm-hmm.
let's try another one and see if he's married or single.
Do you know what it means, MM4M? I'm not familiar with all this terminology.
Yeah. Well, MWM.
I know that.
MWM, yeah, that's married white male. Yeah.
How about MM4M? I'm sorry, MM, the number four, and then another M.
Yeah, that might be married man four man. Yeah. Usually it's, you know, you do M for M, male for male.
I'm looking here in my city in Philadelphia. And there's a lot of postings. Just from today. There's hundreds of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's... And I can imagine that there's a lot more where you are because I live in a fairly small area. You know, maybe 150,000 people.
Now, these are just from today, and I'm up to my 300.
Oh.
Now I'm on page 400. Let's see. This is like a new world to me. I'm always happy to learn new stuff. Wow. and goes on for another 100. And these are just from today, Sunday. That's amazing.
Okay, here's one that I had emailed him back. He's an older. He said, "Do you want an older guy?" And I asked, emailed him back, and said, "Married or single? Can you host? Meaning, can I come to your place?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, responded back and said, "I'm married, but I can't host," which means he's married and his wife is at home. So he's going to lie to her and say, "Oh, honey, I got to run to Walmart for something."
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had that happen to me, where he told me he needed to go to the store, and I knew for a fact that he was going out for sex.
I know. Women are so naive, aren't they?
I beg your pardon?
I said women are so naive.
Well, I don't know. My philosophy of marriage was that you trusted one another and you told one another the truth. And so, you know, if I picked up my purse and said I'm going to the grocery store, that's where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
And I just presumed that that same level of trust went both ways, and it didn't. You know, he would look me straight in the eye and tell me, you know, I've got to go to, you know, the hardware store or whatever, or Walmart, when in fact he was, you know, going out to meet somebody. Or he'd say, "I have to work late tonight," when in fact he was, you know, going to meet somebody. And then, you know,
well,
his job required travel.
Anything. Right, but that's before you knew anything. I'm talking about when a woman finds out or suspects, or, you know, she already finds out her husband's already had some kind of encounter. And then, you know, in the future she says, "Well, he promised he's never going to do it again. And there's no way he can go out and do it. I'm with him 24/7.
Huh.
And I hear that story a lot.
Yeah. No, they'll find a way. Because even after I confronted mine, you know, he was still going out and, you know.
I tell women they can do it while you're out with them. I mean, I know men will go out with their wives, and then they'll say, "I'm going to the bathroom."
Yeah,
and while they're in the bathroom, right?
Yep.
I mean, we were talking about those app phones tonight. Is that what it's called, Misty? The app phone, or what was the name of that?
iPhones and the smartphones, Androids and all those things. It's
what's the
application.
That's a Grindle, right? I think it was called.
Grindr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where it's an application for meeting men, and then you just put down where you are, and then they tell, you know, within a few minutes, you have a whole bunch of men coming to meet you. So, I mean, men can do that when they're going out with their wives. I mean, if they know ahead of time where they're going, they just have to plug in, "I'll be at Macy's in the bathroom at this time." You know, and it's that simple. So it doesn't have to be anything complicated, right?
Apparently not. You know, that technology is making it easier and easier to do this, unfortunately.
But a lot of women think that in order for a man to be involved with another man, there has to be emotion, there has to be passion, there has to be a relationship. It doesn't have to be any of that.
No, there just has to be Viagra. And, you know, and some place to do it.
You know, yeah, and some men don't need the Viagra either.
Yeah.
Some men are fine about that.
Yeah, mine had convinced me he had erectile dysfunction, and so that's why, you know, our sex life had been zilch for the last 5 years that we were married, when, in fact, I found out that he was getting the doctor to prescribe him Cialis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maggie, do you know what this means? FWB. This is MWM, that's married white male, and then SWB.
Single white something. I'm not sure what that one would be.
No, I know it's married white male and some kind of FWB. It says, attractive white male looking for a similar friend to explore and make things hotter this summer. Looking for someone who cares about their body, but not necessarily a gym rat. let's get it on and scorch up the summer. That's, you know, a few minutes from where I live. Let's see if I can reply to this post. I'm replying. Yeah, let's see. Please type in. Use the word to type in. Well, first of all, it's really hard for me to read these letters, but let me try. IVEDDRI and then LOESS. Please type in the words you see below to reply. Let's see if it works.
SWV could be single white virgin.
No, it's an F, like in Frank.
Oh, F.
Yeah.
S-W-F would be single white.
I think I did something wrong, Matt, because it went through, but I didn't have any message there. Let's see. Posting. It's not okay to contact this poster with services or other commercial interests. Well, I didn't say I was doing that. Well, I don't know. I think it went through and I didn't say anything. Maybe he'll write me back. I have to get better at this.
Yeah. Yes, practice does make perfect.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to practice. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send everyone here who's married a little note to go to my new website, the one that's gayhusbandsupport.com. I feel I have nothing to lose, and maybe they'll look at the information about gay married men coming out, and maybe it'll spur them on to do something, like to get help. Or maybe it will scare them. Who knows? Or
maybe if enough of them get scared.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll get scared, but maybe somebody will really think about it. You know, maybe somebody just needs the support of somebody else saying, you know, you need to do this.
Yeah, I've been following a couple of blogs online that are married gay men who have been contemplating coming out to their wives, and a couple of them have, you know, and I have, you know, commented on their blogs and encouraged them to do so because I said, you know, the sooner you do it, the better it is, and it's going to be better coming from you than her finding out by accident. You know, it's going to be ugly regardless, you know. But, you know, if she hears it from you, it's probably going to be ultimately better than if she finds out by accident. And but there was one guy that said, you know, if he had it to do all over again, he would never have come out to his wife. So,
why is he
going
saying
back
that?
To that article.
I don't get it. I mean, what was so horrible after he came out?
That he ended up divorced and paying alimony and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, whereas before he had the best of both worlds. I mean, that was the case with my ex. You know, he had it all. You know,
mm-hmm.
Had me at home cooking and cleaning, and you know, he had, you know, his men on the side, and now, you know, he's paying alimony and I get half of his retirement, and.
No, I understand, you know, they're paying alimony, but is it really the best of both worlds for most men? I mean, don't you think they want to have a relationship with a man where they don't have a wife, you know, interfering in that?
I don't know.
My ex has a
permanent partner now. You know, they've been living together probably about a year now. And basically, this man is his new wife. He does the cooking, he does the cleaning, he mows the yard. No, I never mowed the yard.
You think that's what the problem was in your marriage?
He has sort of fulfilled the wife role.
Do you think that was the problem in your marriage?
That I didn't mow the yard?
Yes.
I don't know.
Maybe that
could have
been the tiebreaker there for you, Maggie.
Maybe it could have, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I said, you know, I'll do everything inside the house, but, you know, you need to mow the yard. I worked in the yard. I'd worked in the flower beds, and, you know, when he would mow, I would weed eat and do some other stuff. But, you know, I just, you know, felt like, you know, hey, you know, this should be an equal opportunity thing. And, you know, if I do all the inside, you know, you can mow the yard.
Listen, I want to tell you something. Your story is one of the most compelling stories I've ever read. And, you know, it's such an honor to be able to put it in the collection that we're having for Straight Wise Shattered Lives Part 2. You know, there's
some
really...
If it will help anybody else, I'm happy to share it.
And, you know, it's just so beautifully written. Because, of course, you know, you are a writer. So it's beautifully written, you know, not only because it comes from your heart, but because you're a great writer. But, you know, I've read your story at least 4 or 5 times because, you know, I'm just so drawn in by it. And there's no way to really give the flavor of it, you know, on this radio show. You know, people have to read it. But when you see what you went through and how it affects your emotional, you know, being, and, you know, this is what I tell guys. I say to them, you know, you got to tell your wives and you got to deal with the consequences. And you can't say you truly love someone if you let them live in a state of not understanding what's wrong with them. I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, I just don't. You know, you say you love someone, well, loving them means, you know, at least letting them understand what's wrong. Because I saw, you know, the one common bond that I saw so much of all the women who wrote for this book was that, you know, they questioned themselves, they questioned what's wrong with them, they questioned their own self-esteem and sexual esteem. You know, they convinced themselves that, you know, there's nothing wrong with their husbands, it must be them. And a lot of these guys, of course, were just moving along with the same thing, saying, if you're not happy, then you have the problem, not me. I'm fine. And, you know, so I just saw how it ripped apart, you know, emotionally so many women. And that's why, you know, to see you're moving along one day at a time, but you're in a totally different place now than you were, let's say, you know, 2 years ago, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not in limbo anymore. The divorce is final, you know, almost everything is settled. There's still a few little financial things to settle, but you know, I have my own apartment. I work with a divorce group.
Mm-hmm.
I've become active in my church. I'm learning some new skills and developing some new interests. And like I said, I may have a job interview tomorrow. Life is good overall. You know, I'd say about, you know, 98-99% of it is good. I still have a lot of anger because my ex has never expressed any sort of remorse, and I don't think he ever will.
Let me ask you this question. Would that help you if he did? I say that to you because, you know, in my last monthly newsletter I wrote about forgiveness and,
yeah,
you know, saying that I believe that forgiveness needs to be earned, that, you know, you just don't blindly give it away.
Yeah,
it's not
my therapist is of the same school of thought, and we have talked about this a lot, and, you
mm-hmm.
know, and it's sort of said, you know, I've just basically got to come to an acceptance of that,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's not ever going to apologize. You know, he's going to continue to blame it on me.
But don't you think that if he would apologize, you know, I mean, I know for me, that, you know, what really made a difference is when my ex-husband not only said he was sorry, but meant it. Because through the years,
if I could get what I felt was a true heartfelt apology, I think that would go a long way.
Wouldn't it?
For getting rid of a lot of this anger. I think I'd still be mad simply because of the way things played out. You know, the fact that he fought. You know, first he told me he wouldn't fight me, and that he would make things right, and then he turned around and did exactly the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't excuse their behavior, and it doesn't mean that everything's going to be fine forever now. But I think inwardly you feel better because at least, you know, the person who has committed this offense against you acknowledges it. You know, I think it's when they don't acknowledge it and they can't say they're sorry that you do hang on to a lot of that anger where, you know.
I mean, it's just like, you know, if anybody, you know, anything else that anybody does wrong to you, you know, if they, you know, back into your car or if they steal something from you or, you know, say something ugly about you behind your back, you know, if they apologize, you know, truly apologize for it, you know, that goes a long way and, you know, makes it a lot easier to forgive them for doing something like that.
It does, and that's with somebody you don't even know. So here's someone
yeah.
you've been with for a lifetime, in your
right.
case.
Of someone you thought you could trust. And,
right,
and
someone who you committed to live with you forever, build a life with you, had children, grandchildren, someone who you trusted that when you weren't there, that person was being loyal and faithful to you. you know, you never gave the person a reason to believe that, he, you know, you were cheating on him because you didn't.
Yeah.
And yet,
and
you know, he
pulled
away from you.
Both ways.
Right. So, I mean, there's so many other issues, but I still say that, you know, if somebody can sincerely say, you know what, I was a jerk and I screwed up, it really does go a long way. I know for me it did. I was able to forgive my husband, you know, when he really meant it and he listened to how I felt and he validated and he said, you're right, I was a jerk. You know, that really went a long way for me as far as, you know, forgiving him. You know, you don't forgive the actions and you don't forgive the individual things that are happening, but you can forgive a situation better. If at least move on from it if they admit it. So
and
that's
mine, unfortunately, has never expressed any interest in how I've felt about this and about how it has affected my life
and a lot
how
of
my
guys.
Life has changed. Yeah, it's all about
him. That upsets me. I mean, how hard is it to say, you know what, this was a mistake, I screwed up, and I am sorry. You know, like I say, it doesn't change what is, but at least you can feel that, you know, it's not your responsibility. They take that, you know, take that away from you where it doesn't belong with you. So you don't have to question yourself or doubt yourself anymore. And I don't think that's too much to expect for a guy to just say, you know what, I screwed up, I'm sorry, can you forgive me? And I think a lot of our women would. One
yeah.
of the things I asked a man tonight, one of my male friends, gay male friends, I said to him, you know, he was formerly married, he's divorced now. And I was really curious about this. You know, I'd like for women to ask their ex-husbands if they're talking to them. If they're not, they don't have to. But, you know, if you know other gay ex-husbands. If before they married you, did they check out how you feel about gay people? Did that gay conversation ever come up?
It never came up before marriage. But it did come up during marriage because my ex has a nephew who is gay.
Mm-hmm.
And we had lots of conversations about it, and he knew exactly how I felt about gay people, and that was that I didn't have any problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
And
but he didn't know that before you got married? Like, you,
no,
well, maybe, you
no.
know.
Yeah, the discussion, and it never came, I mean, we never,
like
we never
know
I don't
people.
Know that I ever came into contact with anybody that was gay or that I knew was gay.
How about you, Misty? In your life before you got married?
No, I don't think that conversation ever came up. It came up, like Maggie just said, it came up during the marriage a time or two because I was of the belief that he chose to be gay. And you have to remember
I don't mean
that.
See, here's what I mean by that conversation
right.
coming up. So you may not even be aware that it came up. You know,
okay.
For instance, let's say you're both out and you see someone who's gay and, you know, your husband might have said, not bringing up, oh, how do you feel about gay people, but he might have said, oh, that guy looks gay, and you might say, well, what's the big deal? You know, just to kind of test the waters as opposed to you saying, oh, that's horrible and disgusting. Gay people are, you know, make me ill.
Yeah, I don't remember it really ever coming up. Not to say that it didn't, but I don't remember the conversation coming up before marriage.
Yeah, mine did.
It certainly came up after. And, you know, and actually, if anything, I remember at points in times early on in the marriage, and this could have even been possibly before the marriage as well, you know, he would also bash gay. He would bash gay people. You know, he would say that.
Before you got married?
Probably. I can't remember much. I know it was early in the marriage. So,
if he was bashing gay people, like, that would be a sign right there. Like, would you have ever said to him, well, I don't feel that way?
Not at that time, because you have to remember, I came from thinking that homosexuality was a choice. I have evolved over the years. I thought it was someone would choose to be that way. So why would someone choose that? And, you know, oh, yeah, I've seen this from two sets of eyes, and it's I was taught a huge lesson, sent from God above, a huge lesson, how that people, I don't believe, choose it. I got to live it with my ex-husband. Didn't even know I had signed up for that lesson.
Maggie, let me ask you a question. Now that your husband's out, pretty much out, right? Have you seen any? Well, you know, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, in the crowd. Have you noticed any physical changes about him?
Well, I've only seen him twice in the last year.
Right.
So, you know, it's hard for me to tell. I saw him June of last year, and then I saw him again in May, so about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really look that much different. He's lost a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because he's sick. But other than that, I really couldn't tell.
There were
no
characteristics that make you think that he's gay?
No. I mean, he has a shaved head. He has a tattoo,
mm-hmm.
which someone who's a therapist told me that combined with some of his other behaviors, like participating in athletics and sports and riding a motorcycle, could be attempts to appear more masculine. She gave it a hypermasculinity or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hypermasculine behavior, you know, in an attempt to cover up the fact that he was gay. He engaged in, you know, he played sports, you know, he got a tattoo, he got a big motorcycle, you know, all that sort of thing. But yeah, no, I don't really, like I said, I don't see him that much. We communicate by email.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to have to engage with him.
Yeah, I'm just curious whether, you know, because I know that some men, you know, are so controlled as far as the way they behave when they're passing in the straight world. And then when they get out of the straight world, you know, a lot of those behaviors change. So I was just curious if you've seen any changes.
I do know that the man that he's living with,
mm-hmm.
the first time one of my sons met this man was before they knew that their dad was gay. And my son told me, he said, the minute I laid eyes on that man, I knew he was gay. But he just thought he was a friend of his father's that had come to help him, you know, do some work or something. And so my sons didn't, you know, I mean, they didn't even pick up on the fact their father, oh, well, my older one did because he found the gay porn when he was a teenager. But the younger one didn't have a clue. But he did pick up on the fact that this man that his father was with was gay, and because he told me that, he said, you know, as soon as I met him, I knew he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and then of course, you know, 2 months later, Dad comes out to me, and I'm, you know, putting two and two together. And
you know, I think the name thing really confuses women. In fact, I'm writing something on that now for our new book. You know, the terminology, you know, gay, bisexual. You know, that women feel that they're married to men, that they must be bisexual because they're married to them. And to me, you know, just because you're married to a woman, if you're having sex with a man, to me it means you're gay. And
That's the way I feel, too.
It doesn't really matter to me if they're having sex with you. I mean, if they're having sex with a man, they're having gay sex. Do you feel that way, too?
Yeah, that's my feeling. I mean, for a while, my ex sort of, I mean, claimed to be bisexual, but he wasn't doing anything with me. You know, it was all with men, and so I think it's just something that men call themselves because they're not comfortable calling
themselves. It's the word that married men call themselves when they're living with a woman. It doesn't mean they're having sex with her. They want a man for sex. They just want to be married to a woman, and they call that bisexual.
Yeah, and somehow bisexual seems to be a little more socially acceptable than being gay.
Yeah, it sounds a little more exotic.
Yeah.
And I think people can accept bisexual as opposed to gay, you know, much more so. So I think that, you know, that's why men say this. But I tell women that it doesn't matter what's in a name, it doesn't matter what's in a label, and you can have the Kinsey scale going from 1 to 6, because I have that thrown in my face all the time. You know, he's on the number 2 part of the rung of the ladder, moving upwards or downwards. And I say, you know, it just doesn't matter to me. I think if you want a penis, you're gay. I don't care what else you want with it. But, you know, I think that's the dividing point that women have to learn to accept that, you know, I have a gay husband. Now, if you decide you want to stay with him, that's on you. I mean, I'm not saying you have to leave him. I just feel that's the best bet.
Right, yeah. You know, if you decide to stay, that's your decision, and, you know, you live with the consequences.
Right. You know, if you want to spend the rest of your life being unhappy, that's on you. You know, I just can't be a miracle worker like a lot of women expect. They'll come to me and I'm going to find a way for them to live with their gay husband. It's just not happening. Or they think I'm absolutely wrong and they go back with their gay husbands and then they come back to me, you know, a year or two later and say, well, you were right. And I never throw it in any woman's face, well, I told you so, because I would never do that, because I know how difficult denial is. And when these guys come to you and they say to you, listen, we can make this work and I don't have to be that way and I've learned my lesson, and, you know, it's you I want. Now, did your husband go through that bargaining thing with you?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he made me an offer of, he said we could stay married but live apart.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that way, you know, you would still, you know, be my, you know, you would inherit everything when I die, and, you know, we could file joint tax returns and enjoy the benefit of that. And I thought about it for all of about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, no, I can't do that, because I did not want to still be legally connected to somebody who had lied and cheated as much as he had, because I thought if the behavior won't change. You know, he'll still be going out and doing his thing, and I'll be sitting at home alone on Friday night, because in my mind I would still be married. Because I even discussed it with my attorney, and she said, yeah, I do this for a lot of couples. And generally it's done for financial reasons. It's called a post-nuptial agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, and I said, you know, well, you know, he can go out and do whatever he wants to, and I'll be sitting alone, you know, at home alone on Friday night. And she says, oh, you could date. And I said, no, I couldn't, because in my mind I would still be married. And so if I went out and dated, I would be doing the same thing that he would be doing, you know, as my moral code went. So I said,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just don't think that's going to work for me. I can't stay connected to him. And I could see him spiraling downward. I mean, he was headed straight for the gutter, and I knew if I didn't get out, I would get sucked into that with him. And I didn't want to be there.
And I think that's the whole thing, you know, like how much can you take and how long do you have to hang in there? You know, I just think that, you know, every woman has to make her own decision.
Right.
But I think that I know how scary it is. And, you know,
if I
didn't know how scary it was, I wouldn't understand it. But I do know how scary it is because of the fact that, you know, I lived it. You know, it's not something that's strange to me. I had two little babies at the time when we split up. And I was scared. Death. I had nothing but debt. You know, I had no car, no phone. You know, I didn't have a job. I had a sick baby. You know, I was really in bad shape. I only had a GED back then. You know, and I thought, how am I ever going to survive? How can I ever handle two little babies myself with no money, being in such bad financial shape? I didn't come from a wealthy family that can support me. I had to make it on my own. And, you know, I learned how to survive, and it was horrible. But you know what? It would have been more horrible having to live a life that wasn't mine to live. You know,
right.
Forget him living his life that's not his to live. What about me living a life that wasn't mine to live? You know, I wasn't destined to have to live with someone who didn't want to be my husband. You know, who was looking at men instead of me. And who was
right.
more concerned about what guys thought than what, you know, I thought. That wasn't my destiny. So, you know, I just had to bite that bullet and move on with nothing. And I'm not saying, well, if I can do it, you can do it, because I know it's not quite that simple, but it can be done. And you were in a situation where you were married for a long time. It wasn't just overnight, right?
Yeah, we were married for 37 years.
That's a lifetime.
Yeah, that's over half my life. And I'll just tell you, 60 is not that bad. I've already hit that number. So, you know. Enjoy your birthday when it comes.
You're just a couple steps in front of me. But
just a few steps, yeah.
We're gonna be the 60 club. How's that?
That's right. What is it, 60 is the new 40 or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I keep believing that one. Misty, you're getting older than us.
Oh,
and faster.
Oh, none of us are old. We're all young at heart.
Then you're going to be as old as we are. The rate
there
we're
you
going.
Go.
Maggie and I are stunning young. Well, anyway, Maggie, I want to thank you so much for being our guest tonight. You really came in to help us, and I really do appreciate it. Because there's nobody better at this stuff than you do. And I think we need to, you know, really pursue this and see if we can make any input here. So I'm going to be exploring more.
I may try replying to a couple of these people and just seeing, you know, what the response is. You know,
see what they're
saying,
up to,
hey,
right?
You know, you really need to come out to your wife. You know, you really need to stop doing this.
Exactly. All right, Maggie, talk to you soon again.
All right.
And
you have a good week.
Thank you. You too. You know, we love you. And good luck tomorrow. Let us know how you make out with the job.
All righty. Thanks.
All right. We'll be rooting
good luck.
For you. All right. Take care. Misty?
Yes.
Well, I think we had a really good show tonight. It was an educational show of sorts. Not the kind of education any of us were planning on getting.
Yes.
But I am going to look for an angle on that Craigslist to inform men about what their options are. So that'll be inspiring. I'll be working on that as soon as I get this book wrapped up. You know, Changing Lives of Men on Craigslist. That could be our next story. But anyway, Misty, I want to wish you a wonderful week. And
remind people
that, you know, they should sign up for your workshop. It's an opportunity to get into Misty's workshop and see the beautiful work that she does on the grieving process. And, you know, how you can get through yours and all the steps you're going to be going through and how to get past some of the ones that you're stuck at. And so if you're interested, you write to Misty Lynn Hall, MistyLynnHall, and Misty at AOL.com. Or you can write to me at bondk@AOL.com, and I'll be happy to forward your mail to Misty. So, Misty, I hope you have a wonderful week.
You
as
well.
I know it's going to be a hot one because you're in Florida. But
yes, it will.
You know, that's life in Florida. It's hot, hot, hot.
It is. That's summer.
Lots of bugs, little geckos, flying bugs, mosquitoes.
Bugs, lizards, all kinds of mosquitoes, all kinds of stuff.
Swamp, right?
But we have sunshine. We do have sunshine. And we have oranges. We have oranges and we have sunshine.
Maybe you can send me a few of the oranges, Misty.
I'll
get somebody to send me some tomatoes, in case anybody's listening with tomatoes in their garden. I'd really appreciate it. I love homegrown tomatoes.
I don't grow tomatoes because I don't eat tomatoes.
Okay, well, maybe somebody listening is.
I'll see if we can find
someone. Write to me at bondk@AOL, and I'll be happy to send you my address. All right, Misty, well, I'll plan to listen to you next week. Have a wonderful week. And to
everyone.
All of our listeners. Go ahead, Misty, say it.
Good night and love to all.
Yep, we love all of you. Good night.
Bye-bye.